Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we are still we're still running off the fumes of the Seahawks win against the Carolina Panthers this Sunday, 30-27, putting the Seahawks in prime playoff position. They're on the outside looking in right now, but things are looking great for the team. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's curious to see, you know, what this team is going to do. And that leads to a good amount of questions coming in for our mailbag episode. We're doing it in a new format. If you guys want to hear your question answered on a mailbag episode on the Locked On Seahawks podcast, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star, 4-star, 2-star review with a question in it, and we will answer it on the show. But before we get into our mailbag, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host the Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. Spike is a writer with The Stranger, and we both, you know, we're really optimistic about the team, but that does not mean we still can't have takes about the team. And so Spike came to me last night. He said, Grant, you can't let me forget this take. And even if he slept on it and maybe it isn't as hot as before, I'm still expecting a scorching hot take. Spike, what is it that you thought of about this team that was so white hot that you had to text me about it?
The Seahawks are only winning close games right now because they got rid of Brandon Marshall. And that isn't because of his play. It's because he's cursed. We know Brandon Marshall has never made the playoffs before, and his negative influence on the Seahawks was too powerful. When he was on the team, they had, like, what, a 20% chance of making the playoffs? Now that he's off, it's up to 75%. Now, the reason this take is not great is that the Saints went and got Brandon Marshall, which tells you all you need to know, that it takes both Russell Wilson and Drew Brees to drag Brandon Marshall into the playoffs. It takes a village to get Brandon Marshall into the playoffs. One team alone could not do it. So I am saying that the Seahawks resurgence, it's not about Schottenheimer or Wilson. It's just about getting rid of Brandon Marshall. That is my white hot take.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk so much about how maybe the NFL isn't the most morally good place in the whole world, but now we're seeing a collective effort to give Brandon Marshall his chance at the playoffs. You know, it's a real nice guy move by the Seahawks and Russell Wilson and the Saints and Drew Brees to give Brandon Marshall a Christmas present, give him a Christmas wish, and that's to make the playoffs. So, you know, who knows? Maybe the Saints can just implode. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be incredible if they missed the playoffs at this point. I mean, they could cut him. That's real. But I will say, like, it is real that, like, the Seahawks won the Panthers game because of David Moore, who Brian Schottenheimer, based on the mic'd up footage, the all-access footage that came out yesterday, Brian Schottenheimer has nicknamed David Moore the ultra-creative Demo. Terrible nickname. Terrible work, Brian. But David Moore's incredible play on fourth down, Brandon Marshall might not make that play. Seahawks might not win that game, and then their odds of being in the playoffs again at 25%. So there is the hot take version of it. There's the real take version of it. I'm just excited that I realize that, like, this team has only won close games without Brandon Marshall on the roster.
Well, I think the overall biggest thing that I took from this is that David Moore needs a new nickname. If you guys think of a new nickname, go ahead, leave it in a review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk about it on the show. That's a good segment idea. Right now, I think I'm going to call him Britney Spears.
My instinct was to do sort of the and I guess it's because I'm a Liverpool fan. They sing Billy Idol's "Rebel Yell" for Mohamed Salah. Mo mo mo. And so more, more, more. You know what I mean? There's something there. There's something in, like, that. I don't know. Well, we gotta have songs for our players.
Well, like, yeah, we're both operating on the same wave. Like, "Give Me More" by Britney Spears. That's one of her classics. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's something that pops into my head every time he makes a play. But we'll move away from
this. I am older than you.
Well, Britney Spears is more your era than mine.
I know, but I'm just saying Billy Idol is before either of our eras.
Closer to you than me. But yeah, we'll move away from this. We'll talk about it at a later date. Yeah, leave your suggestions in an Apple Podcast review, and we'll get to them. But you know, the reason that we're here, the reason that you're here, is for our mailbag episode. And it's been a long time coming. The questions have welled up, which is actually a welcome change because, you know, sometimes we struggle to get questions, but you guys came through, which we appreciate. And so we'll start our mailbag episode with a question from King James 2585, and he says, "Go Hawks!" in a
Oh,
5-star review. Great name.
boy. Lakers nonsense. It's fine.
It's
okay,
fine.
what's the question?
Hey, we said we wouldn't ro roast the 5-star reviews.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Go Lakers. Ugh.
we'll read the reviews first. It says, "Love the content. Listening from Rockford,
Ooh.
Illinois. Got a question for you. Other than Steve Largent, who are the Seahawks' top three wide receivers of all time? Thanks, Skyler." Spike, I'll let you start with it because you know you had a have a longer knowledge of this team's history than I do, I'd say. So I'll let you
Yeah.
take the reins on this one first.
My instinct is to include Doug Baldwin,
Yeah.
given his current tenure with the team, how effective he's been, just everything that he's brought to the team, sort of through the entirety of the Russell Wilson era. I think Doug Baldwin's got to be on that list. My instinct is to throw Joey Galloway in there. Joey Galloway, obviously an incredible athlete, and played really well with some pretty schmedium quarterbacks there for a minute. No offense to John Kitna, but that was not our best era of quarterbacking. I don't want to he's not quite Andre Johnson level of put up huge numbers without great quarterbacks, but he was really good. Seahawks obviously drafted him high, and he panned out both for us and for Tampa. So I just loved watching Galloway play when I was a little younger. He was the Seahawks just didn't have monster athletes on offense that way, like those explosive wideouts. So it was just thrilling to have him. And then for sort of the Hasselbeck era, I'd probably go D-Jax over Bobby Engram.
Yeah.
Even though his hands weren't quite there, he was more of a number one receiver. He amassed, more stats, I think, over the course of his tenure with the team. And I just feel like he was the number one on that Super Bowl team. So for me, those are, and again, I might be missing someone from the Largent era. I don't remember if there was a number two who was that good. I'm older than Grant, but I'm not that old. So sort of the three eras that I've been alive and a Seahawks fan for, I go Galloway, Jackson, Baldwin, probably in reverse order. I'd probably go Baldwin, Jackson, Galloway.
Yeah, I think that's a great list. I'll go with let's see, Terrell Owens in that one preseason in 2012. I'll go with the offseason that Seahawks signed Sidney Rice, and we had a lot of expectations for him. And then Big Mike Williams for that one season. No, but completely serious.
I'm surprised you didn't go Jerry Rice.
That's a little bit too much of a hipster pick. No,
Yeah.
but I think honestly, it's some combination of Doug Baldwin, Darryl Jackson, and then either one of Joey Galloway or Brian Blades. No,
Yeah, Blades is the other from that era.
yeah, I think Blades. You know, he you know puts up numbers when he's healthy, but you know, you look at the end of his career, he really just couldn't put together a full season of games. And his production took a hit, but you know, in terms of consistent production, obviously it's an era where you know he ended his career one year after I was born, but you know, looking at the production, looking at highlight film, you know, there's a few guys that you can put in that third slot, but I think clear cut, I think it's Baldwin, Jackson, and then a combination of the two of Galloway and Blades.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have Golden Tate still, because
Yeah.
he would have been that guy. He would have been that other guy. All right, cool.
All
Yeah,
right.
great. Next question. Let's
All
do it.
right. This one comes from Rusty Hinges. He says, "Love the pod, guys," in a 5-star review. He says, "The last couple of years have been tough. No, sorry. The last couple of years of fandom have been tough when we thought they could be great. The team seems to be trending in the right direction this year. Do we have the pieces to make a meaningful postseason run? What about next year? Peace, Jeff. Now, I'll take it first. I think we've done a 180 this year in terms of pessimism and optimism, but I think that there's still a little ways to go for the Seahawks this year in terms of making a meaningful postseason run. I think it comes down to their play to close the season and how the Rams and Chiefs and Saints close the year. But you know, when it comes to, you know, how the defense plays, they're gonna have to, you know, do something miraculous to flip the switch from playoff contender to championship contender. Some things are gonna have to happen. I mean, Shaquille Griffin's gonna have to step up. Other members of the secondary are gonna step up, and then the defensive line's gonna have to, you know, generate a lot of pressure, a lot of sacks, and, you know, become a monster unit. And I think the Seahawks are a year away from doing that. They're gonna have to add some pieces, and so yeah, barring something miraculous, I think next year is what we're gonna have to turn our sights to in terms of making a run at the Super Bowl rather than just making some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say two things, because, like, okay, so part of it is, like, what is your definition of a meaningful run? If we're talking about Super Bowl run, yeah, I can't. I mean, we gave the Rams great games both times. But, like, I just can't see us getting past the Saints with our pass defense in its current situation, which is not great. Pass defense is not good enough, I think, in this NFL era to overcome sort of the other weaknesses on the roster. And by weaknesses, I just mean, like, there's a lack of excellence anywhere on the roster outside of Wilson, Dixon, and Wagner. And so you don't have a unit that's going to carry you all the way. And then you have to have no weaknesses. And without Earl Thomas, this team has a weakness in terms of pass defense. They had Drew Brees or Goff or Pat Mahomes, you know. But I don't think we end up facing Pat Mahomes. That said, like, I think it's very cool if we win a playoff game this year. And if we beat the Vikings, and the Vikings are very good, that's going to be a very difficult game. But if we beat the Vikings at home in primetime, which is, you know, been a recipe for success for this team throughout the Russell Wilson era, you know, you've got a chance to get in there as the 5 seed, and then you're drawing the winner of the NFC East, who's probably going to be Dallas, could be Philly. Philly would be a tougher matchup. Could be Washington. Washington is a joke right now. And any of those games are eminently winnable. So winning a playoff game this year with this roster would be pretty incredible. There is meaning to that. For me, and I think, yeah, next year, if they add the right pieces, I think we have some questions on this coming up, they will be in position to make a Super Bowl run. That's just what happens when you have a great coach and a great quarterback, is you're always potentially a year away if you add the right complementary pieces. Also, just say, like, it hasn't been that hard to be a Seahawks fan over the last couple of years. Like, we did win a playoff game 2 years ago. We, you know, last year was disappointing, but we still were 9-7. And, like, I mean, it was disappointing given how hard we pushed in and how after 12 games it sort of looked like we were a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But, you know, I know lots of fans of other teams that would love to have their team go 9-7 in a bad year. So, you know, we should also just be grateful for what we've got in this Seahawks franchise, especially in this era.
Spike, you're completely wrong. It's championship or bust every year. I just can't. I can't settle. I can't settle, Spike. No, but you mentioned Earl Thomas in the last question, and, you know, I think this, you know, transitions pretty well. This is going to be the break, last question. Though. Oh, I was going to say this is the last question before the break. But
no, we got to take a break now.
We'll take
baby.
A break. We'll take a break. It's okay.
We got a great Earl Thomas question coming after the break.
So after the break, we'll come back. Answer this question about Earl Thomas and the Seahawks team. So stay tuned for more of your guys' questions on the Locked On Seahawks podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody who loves the outdoors or hates being cold. You know, some people hate being cold, some people hate being warm, but if you hate being cold, Action Heat is the clothing for you. They provide clothing that has toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Seahawks listeners to save 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out on everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And we are back with the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And you know, we had a big tease about this Earl Thomas question.
Ooh, it's an Earl Thomas question.
Yep. It comes in a 5-star review from Cali Crow. It says, great podcast. Listen to pretty much every episode right now at 6-5. How many more wins do you think Earl Thomas would have been worth? Do you think that the team wins the Rams games? Chargers, I believe we could be 9-2 leading the division. What do you guys think? Once again, love the pod. Keep them coming. I'll take it first. I think Earl Thomas gives the Seahawks probably a great chance to win at least one of the Rams games, seeing how close they played without him. You know, a few of those over the top shots or, you know, deep shots over the middle, they could be eliminated with Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas completely changes the way teams scheme against the Seahawks. You know, you see a lot more verticality, you see a lot more aggressiveness in testing the middle of the field, because, you know, Tedrick Thompson and Bradley McDougal don't provide that kind of security playing center field like Earl Thomas does. And so, yeah, I think the Seahawks win at least one of the Rams games. Like I said, team scheme completely different, so, you know, they could scheme away from Earl Thomas, and they could go different routes to attack the Seahawks team, and I think, you know, maybe that could, you know, provide one win for the Rams. But, you know, legitimately, given how close the Seahawks played the Rams, I think there's a great chance that they win at least one of those games. The Chargers game, I think, is a toss-up just because of how good the Chargers are, but I say in Seattle with Earl Thomas, maybe that provides a win for them too. So, yeah, I think they win at least two of the three games with Earl Thomas. I don't know if you feel differently, Spike.
I do. That Chargers game wasn't as close as the final score indicates, and Phillip Rivers is playing so well right now. We've seen Phillip Rivers sort of destroy, frankly, the Seahawks, even when we've had Earl Thomas in the past. So I just don't see that game turning. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think we get one of those Rams games. The thing about that Rams offense, though, is that they can just beat you in so many ways.
Right.
But those games are both very close, and that could have been the difference. So, for me, it is one win at this point, most likely. On balance, I would guess we would be one win better right now. We'd be 7-4 with a healthy Earl. It's honestly looking forward where I think Earl would have made the biggest difference, specifically against the Vikings and Chiefs. Kirk Cousins is playing out of his mind right now, and the pass rush just isn't there for us. So I think Earl Thomas would be a huge safety blanket in that game. Hopefully Michael Kendrick's return provides at least some help, and hopefully our pass rush is better than it was against Carolina. And then the other one is against Pat Mahomes. Not having Earl Thomas is a nightmare, and I'm terrified. So that's sort of where I'm at, is like, we maybe win one more in the past, and we maybe win one more in the future with Earl. So you're talking about a 10 or 11 win season versus like an 8-10 win season.
Yeah, and one thing I forgot about the Chargers game: having Earl Thomas back doesn't solve the Sean Hockley problem. He was terrible, and so I don't even think Earl Thomas can remedy that. But we'll go to the next question. We'll go to Nice Pod from El Jefe Hawk. It's a 5-star review. It says, hey guys, overall, I think the offense is functioning pretty well right now. The defense, however, has seemed like a liability in certain situations this year. Which piece of this Hawks defense do you think is our biggest weakness? run defense, pass defense, or pass rush? Now, additionally, do you have a first rounder in mind that would realistically still be available that could help remedy some of these issues come April? Thanks. Spike, I'll let you take the reins on it first, and then I'll come second with this question.
Yeah, so I think the issue with this defense right now is the pass defense. Running is not, you know, it's important, but it's not as impactful on the outcome of games. And also, the Seahawks run defense is good. It's above average. The pass defense is below average. And that's a problem, and that is both the pass rush and the secondary right now. I don't know exactly what this draft class looks like, but my instinct is the player on this team, and I've said it before on this podcast a number of times, the player on this team who most needs to be replaced and has not been replaced, the issue that has not been addressed, is the absence of Cliff Avril. So I'd love to find a speedy edge rusher in this draft. You know, we're not going to be able to get a Nick Bosa, or, you know, I mean, we're going to be picking in the somewhere in the late teens to mid 20s. We might even trade back. But like whoever the best edge rusher is in that range, where, you know, in the past, guys like Harold Landry have gone to Tennessee, or Tack McKinley has gone to Atlanta. Those aren't necessarily the best players on earth, but like those are the guys, that's the type of guy that the Seahawks probably need
right now. I'm in agreement. I think the run defense is probably the least of the defense's worries right now. Even after Christian McCaffrey just ran wild, it's a game that KJ Wright wasn't healthy for, and Pete Carroll just said they just had a lot of errors in that game, and so that's not something I'm worried about long term. But I'm also in agreement that pass rush probably needs to be addressed in the draft early. And, you know, I think there's a couple guys that the Seahawks could look out for. In my preparation this morning, I became the foremost NFL draft expert when it came to defensive linemen. And so a couple guys that might be available when the Seahawks come up to draft, like Spike said, in the late teens, early 20s, Montez Sweat from Mississippi State. As a guy who had 11 sacks last year, has 8 sacks this year, or 8.5 this year. Clelin Ferrell from Clemson is also, I think, an 11 sack guy. And so, you know, these are two guys that really can provide a boost on the outside, opposite Frank Clark. And Sweat is a guy that, you know, he's a little bit older, but spent a year in JUCO, transferring from Michigan State. And found a place at Mississippi State, who's a guy that could have left last year, but, you know, really wanted to prove himself again this year. Like I said, I became a draft expert this morning, and so those are my two guys that I've been looking out for, or just had enough time to look at when I was waiting for Spike to record.
Yeah, I'm not a draft expert. I don't watch very much college football right now, so it is tough for me to, like, throw out names. I mean, the obvious other spot is if they love a defensive back, if they think there's an Earl Thomas, you know, if the equivalent of Derwin James, an elite safety prospect, is on the board when they're picking, it might be worth going that direction.
Right. Either if, you know, he's on the board when they're picking, or is available maybe a few spots back, because we know how this team resists to move up in the draft and loves to move back in the draft. And so, I'm trying my best, guys. I'm not a big draft guy either, but, you know, I figured maybe throw out a couple names just for you guys. And so we'll go to our last question, which comes from the real Twebs or Tweebs. It says best Seahawks podcast by far in a 5-star review. Thank you, by the way. It says Grant and Spike know the team inside and out. Obviously, they're big fans of the team.
Uh-oh.
But I know, lofty expectations.
That's too high a standard.
I know. Obviously, they're big fans of the team, but they don't take it to absurd homer levels. Once a week, they bring on the host of Locked On Team Hawks are playing. And it's always been a great conversation. If you're looking for a great daily podcast covering the Hawks, look no further. I do have a question for the two hosts. Which of these legend Seahawks QBs could you place as the starter of the 2014 Seahawks team and have the best chance of winning the Super Bowl? Options are Brett Hundley, Charlie Whitehurst, J.P. Losman, Austin Davis, or Charlie Fry. The Seahawks didn't even win the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson in that year, so...
Well, are they saying this the year they won this? I guess, okay. Do they mean the year they won the Super Bowl? You know, because we technically won it in 2014. You know what I mean? I think you're talking about that team.
Okay.
Look, here's the thing. I got three things to say about this. One, I forgot that Charlie Fry was on the Seahawks. Like, what? Like, how is that possible? Two of those guys, probably Whitehurst is the best. I don't know. Oof. Three, if we're talking about just the Super Bowl, we could have played anybody a quarterback the way the defense was playing against that Broncos team. I mean, I believe that the Broncos were outscored by the Seahawks defense in that game because we got the safety and we had a pick six. So I guess it was equal, right? Because they ended up hitting on a two-point conversion. It came in at 43.
They had 8 points.
Yeah, so the defense alone tied them. So any NFL quarterback, and obviously this isn't how football works, but I'm just like, if you're just talking about that Super Bowl game and you have to play Charlie Whitehurst at quarterback, I think the Seahawks have a chance to win it. Now, I do not think we beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game with anybody other than Russell Wilson on that list. You know, I think a Matt Hasselbeck, maybe a Jim Zorn, maybe. That's probably the list of Seahawks quarterbacks that are winning that NFC title game. But that Super Bowl, we won by a lot. We won it big. And so part of me is like, yeah, why not win it with JP Losman? Why not win it with Charlie Fry? Man, Charlie Fry. Forgotten about him. Grant, who's your pick amongst all these guys?
Well, I think if I'll broaden the scope to the whole season, and even, you know, the whole season with the way the defense is playing. Now, I give a lot of credit to Russell Wilson for making that Seahawks what it was. But if you're talking about how good the defense is, you want somebody that's not gonna make a whole ton of mistakes, and so Austin Davis, I think, is the safest pick when you talk about ball in jeopardy to be turned over, and then I'll agree with you. Charlie Whitehurst is probably the best option overall in terms of giving your team a chance to win. But yeah, it's a super tough question, given the crop of quarterbacks that we have to pick from. So, really, really great question to end things on. And so, we appreciate everybody who left a question in the review. In the next segment, we'll go ahead and shout out the people that didn't leave a question, just left a 5-star review, because that's what we promised. We promised a shout out, and that's what we'll give. And so, thank you guys for leaving these questions. And again, if you want your question answered on our show, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5, 4, or 2-star review, but you know which one we like. It's a 5-star review, and leave that question in there and we'll answer it on the show. And so we'll come back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike, and we are going to tie things up, giving a shout out to the people that did leave a review that didn't have a question in it. And so we'll start off with T. Roy, who leaves a 5-star review. And he says,
should we give a hot take for each one? Here, I'll give a hot take for T. Roy. Oh yeah, no, okay. Say what he said, and then I'll give a hot take.
Okay. This podcast is my favorite. Right next to Field Goals, which now requires a Patreon membership. These guys are very knowledgeable and provide great insight into the current state of our Hawks. Keep up the great work.
Great. Okay, so keeping up the great work, my hot take is that J.R. Sweezy is doing great work. And this is not really that hot a take, but if I were to tell one player on the Seahawks to keep up the great work, it would be J.R. Sweezy, because I feel like we're not talking about the fact that J.R. Sweezy is back and has stepped in and is better than ever. What is going on? How is J.R. Sweezy a factor on the 2018 Seahawks after everything we've been through together? J.R. Sweezy, keep up the great work.
Nice. Now we just need to add Breno Giacomini, and so we can have the redemption arc for him. We'll go to the next review by Create a Nickname. It's a 5-star for regular pods. Great breakdown of Seahawks news. I really appreciate the timely daily dose of updates post-game and throughout the week. Keep it going, boys. And so I'll take the hot take on that. Keep it going, boys. I think what we're seeing is we want the Cowboys to keep up, keep it going, yep. Win that division, get the four seed in the playoffs. And so the Seahawks can also keep it going, go into Dallas and totally destroy them in the wild card game, skewing our expectations for an eventual matchup against either the Rams or the Saints. Now, that's how I read it. So the Seahawks are going to ride a train into the playoffs and just run over the Dallas Cowboys. That's the read I got from it. Thank you, Create a Nickname, for your review. We'll move on to... Oh, no, that's it. There are two non-question reviews. So if we did miss your review, I apologize. I've read over the list a few times. But, no, we always thank you guys for your input and feedback. Now, I think I can speak for myself and for Spike when we say, every ounce of feedback is always great. To know that we're doing a good job in your guys' eyes is really gratifying, and we always appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah. Yeah, of course I appreciate people listening. Yeah. I don't know why I said it like that.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to call me stupid after. Like, that's the kind of tone you had in your voice. But
I know. I don't know why it came out that way.
No, it's okay.
Look, like, we're deep enough in the podcast. Can I just say, I have, like, the chicken pox right now, and it's crazy. Like, what is happening in my life? I got the chicken pox vaccine. I'd never had it. And the allergic reaction I've gotten is the chicken pox. I'm like, it's a nightmare.
Spike is itching to talk about his chicken pox on our podcast.
I had to tell the podcast fans. I feel like podcasts give a glimpse into the personal lives of the podcast hosts.
Right.
Mine is, I got this, I'm just mad right now because what is happening? Why is this happening?
You know, I mean, like, we always give a glimpse into the current state of the team, but, usually when we give a glimpse into our state, it's usually, like, the political climate of the NFL or, like, our views on that. But never chicken pox. This is uncharted territory for us as a podcasting duo. When I come down with the cold next week or something like that, I'll be sure to let you guys know. So... not only will you be updated on the Seahawks as a team, but you'll also be updated on us as a podcast duo. I think that's equally as important. But I think that does it for today's show. Thank you guys again for leaving your questions in an Apple Podcast review. Thank you guys for reaching out to us on Twitter when you guys do. We always appreciate feedback there. Listen to other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. There's always great content in Locked On NFL, NBA. There's great college podcasts going on. Of course, Locked On Huskies is an open opportunity. If one of you guys is feeling bold and want to put your takes on the air, go ahead and reach out and see what you can do in that sense. But yeah, I think that does it, Spike, unless you have anything.
No, I got nothing.
You just got chicken pox. And so for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.